you for being here. Also going to hit record. And thank you all so much for coming and supporting this incredible project. It's been a real honor to get to work on it. And I want to start by acknowledging that we're gathering here in Chibuktuk on unceded and unsurrendered Mi'kmaq territory. Here at eye level, we're really trying to navigate quite imperfectly what it means to be a good guest and an uninvited guest on this land, and how we can move forward as a settler-led organization and uphold treaty and uphold like our own personal treaty obligations as a settler organization, and think about our commitments to the land and our commitments to the first people of this land. I also want to acknowledge that this zine and all of the content and images in it are contributed by the amazing submitters who come from all over Turtle Island. And the land does feature quite heavily in this zine, as does the really beautiful act of situating queer and trans bodies on the land. So I want to acknowledge that as well. And thank Adrian for being here with us in Halifax and bringing this amazing project to eye level. And having so much faith in us to make their dream a reality. And a huge thank you to everybody who submitted. I want to like give you guys a round of applause and give yourselves a round of applause. I felt really honored by just the overwhelming love and trust, I think, that comes from the act of participating in a project like this in such a way. And I really felt like I received that, and that was quite an honor. And also thank you to Charlie, who is here doing our ASL interpretation. And also a final thank you to Jamie Spinks at Coffee Shop Studio, who made this thing an actual physical thing, and contributed their own really brilliant ideas, like the little chain belly band and the spot varnish and all of that really wonderful stuff. So good. So I think the vibe here, we were talking very casual.
Yeah.
And we'll do like a little bit of a Q&A.
We were talking before this, like instead of doing like a formal talk, I thought because it's like such a collaborative project, it'd be nice for like Sally and I to have like a bit of a conversation and then just like have folks ask questions or contribute to the conversation collectively. And there's a lot of people that are in the zine that are here too. So it'd be nice to like, talk as a group.
So we are recording it. Ren is in the back doing an Instagram live stream. And then we've got a little Zoom recorder up in the front that should probably pick people up. And then our hope is to release the recording of this kind of podcast style with a transcription. We'd welcome and love your participation as well. So I have some questions that I prepared, but I think they could just be like guiding. So do you want to start by telling us about this project and how you dreamed it up?
Yeah, totally. I feel like it's been like a really long time coming. Like the actual project itself started, I took the first photo for this project in 2020. It is a pandemic project, or how it started, but I was making work during my MFA, probably around 2018, 2019, was the first time I made work that like featured like a photo of my body in the bath, and it was like a photo of my legs in a bathtub with like orange water. I'd used a bath bomb, and I think that I rendered that photo on like a fleece blanket, and I really liked the tension of like having like a queer body rendered on a really soft material. And I was like thinking a lot about I just always had such a fraught relationship with like my body hair and like stuff like that like growing up, and so that work was really healing for me. And then it was just like, I don't know, I know a lot of queer people that like take baths and like love a good bath bomb, you know? And so I was thinking about all the time we were spending indoors over the pandemic. And it was like, I think it was, Kat, do you remember it was like late spring, early summer? Because like the first photo in it is of me and Kat, who's my partner, in the bath together, and like took that photo, and I just really liked it, and I was just like really thinking about how I wanted it to be like this collective project. And I'd just seen people documenting themselves like bathing on Instagram, like queer and trans folks, so I just kind of became this collective this idea that turned into, like, I put out a call and I just kind of, like, emailed it out to folks. Like, I just, like, did a DIY call, emailed it out to folks, asked them to send it to other people, and then I got a bunch of submissions, but, like, had no funding. So I had, like, a bunch of great images and no funding, and I was like, this can be something, but I really want people to, like, be paid and get a copy, and I just, like, didn't have the resources. So it was really great when, like, I finally saw your call and applied to it, and then it got accepted. It's like, I don't know, it was like, it became like beyond any expectation I could have had for this thing. So that's kind of how it came about.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to work with you. And I think at eye level, we've been really defining ourselves with our bookstore, and we've been thinking a lot about like the importance of artist-driven publishing and this kind of like community source publishing and making publishing like approachable and informal. And it's really always just like super exciting for us whenever somebody sends us a submission. It's like, and a book, and yeah, then we all are like, oh, a book, yay. But I kind of want to go back to the idea of I think queer bathing and why, like, do you have thoughts on why I don't know, like, bathing can be this really queering act? Or
I mean, like, I think I was thinking about, like, a really expansive definition of bathing. So it's, like, obviously there's just, like, taking a bath and having, like, that moment for, like, queer and trans folks to, like, be alone with their body in a way where, like, they're free of, like, anyone else's, like, perception. Or you can just kind of, like, be in your body maybe without thinking about it as much. So there's, like, that aspect of it. Or, like, bathing with a partner, or, like, having a care worker, like... help. So it's like those like forms of intimacy, but then I was also thinking of the political history of bathing. So like Hanlon's Point in Toronto, like queer beaches, but also bathhouses, and like how important that is to like queer social dynamics and queer history, and then also how fraught the history of like bathhouses being raided, like how much that relates to queer history and queer politics. So I'm thinking about that in a really expansive way, and I just feel like they're so intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like being in your body, intimacy, nudity, like queerness, mm-hmm. feels very political and radical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think there's even something like political and radical too about that act of experiencing that intimacy and that being in your body, but also in these kind of like semi-public forums.
Yes.
Like nude beaches and like bathhouses.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think I saw that reflected a lot in the submissions too.
Yeah, it was a really nice mix of like people being at home, but then also people being like out in the world, whether it was outside or like in a public space. Mm-hmm. Like your submission, Arjun, was in like, where was it?
It was in a fitness center shower.
Yeah, so it's like all these combinations of different interpretations or like spaces and contexts for bathing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. Some of the images were like very sweet and very friend oriented, and some of them were very sexual.
Yeah.
Like, and sensual, like it's really nice seeing just that wide kind of sepia of experiences and relationships that people have or brought to that idea of bathing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I personally think bathing is really powerful. I think it's like a powerful act of self-care, and like when it exists in community too.
Yeah. And I think one thing that really surprised me about the submissions is I kind of just assumed that people were going to be like, because I'd seen like people documenting themselves on Instagram bathing, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna get like images of like what people are already doing. But a lot of people like created like were really intentional about going out or like creating like an experience on their own and then documenting it for the zine and then telling me about the experience they had, which I thought was really lovely. Because
mm-hmm.
I was just like, I didn't anticipate that. I was just like, oh yeah, they'll just document the regular bathing. And it was like a lot of people were like, oh, I had this really intentional time with myself or with somebody else, and that was really nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think some people really took it to, like, not that it never had an artistic intention, but I think some people really did bring it into this realm of performance as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So do you want to, like, thinking about this idea of being this role of, like, a collector and an artist in this project, do you want to talk about the process of how you sourced images and how you kind of held relationship with all of the people that were involved in this?
Yeah, so I like definitely like sent some like I made a call and I like personally sent it to like some people that I really wanted to be included. And I definitely followed up with some people who I really wanted to be included a few times. And then I also just, like, asked people to kind of send it out to their networks. And it became a really lovely, like, I don't know, kind of felt like a, like, queer phone tree. Like, people were just, like, sending it out. And so it was, like, nice to get, like, that first round that was, like, super DIY and just, like, people sending it out. And then it was, like, nice to pair with you because when iLevel could send it out, it also meant that it was, like, beyond just my personal network. Mm-hmm. And it also definitely diversified the range because, like, I know folks in Halifax, but I've never been here before. Like, I don't have that same community connection. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, yeah, partnering with an institution like you was really helpful in getting a wider call. But then it was just, yeah, like, kind of just queer network putting the word out there. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice to get submissions both from folks I knew but also folks I never would have met otherwise. Mm-hmm. It was a really nice way to, like, extend community and, like, meet folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad. I think I also kind of surprised you, like, how small the world is as well.
Yeah.
And even just noticing, like, you're coming in here and you're getting hugs from, like, all of the different people, all the different participants, and I'm like, oh, it's a small world, it's a small community.
A lot of my non-binary friends have all moved to Halifax. I've noticed, so they all just live here now.
That's great.
And they're all friends with each other. So.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I'd like to think we're, like, a super queer city.
It feels like it.
So I'm really curious about how you kind of see yourself in, like, the role of the artist of this project.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I feel like it's, like, maybe, like, facilitator / artist, like, ahead of vision. It feels somewhat curatorial, but then it doesn't feel, like, it feels more collaborative than curatorial, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was just, like, having the idea and putting out the call, and kind of putting it together, but then it's, like, I feel like it's actually, like, 30 artists
mm-hmm.
that made it together. So it's, yeah, it feels strange. And I guess this, like, leads to something that was really important to me, is, like, I kind of stalled on doing the project after I got my first round of submissions because I wanted everybody to be paid
mm-hmm.
And get, like, a copy. And so, like, when you guys first accepted it and then said, like, oh yeah, we could do that, I was like, okay, great. Because that was, like, my biggest priority was, like, I want every single person who was, like, involved to be compensated.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel like that's just, like, politically really important to me with, like, the ethos of this scene. So it does feel like there's, like, it's, like, 30 artists who made it. And I just, like, helped make it be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of folks that I know in the arts too are also really redefining what that role of artist is, and maybe it's also, like, and it's a conversation that has history behind it, but it's also tricky stuff too when we're gathering from our communities to make sure that we're doing it with a lot of care and with a lot of reciprocity.
I feel like when I work, and, like, the first round of submissions that I did, like, I think everybody that submitted, almost every single person that submitted made it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second round, I just, like, I didn't have room for every single submission because there was, like, a cap. But, like, a lot of people that submitted made it in, and I just really lucked out that, like, so many solid submissions came in. And I liked that it was, like, I think it was really nice that it was arranged from, like, professional artists and then people that don't even identify as artists, like, mm-hmm. making this creative thing for mm-hmm. the scene. Like, that felt really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, like, curate, mm-hmm. But the way I approach curatorial practice is very, like, non-hierarchical, more collaborative. Like, I usually feel like the people I'm curating and working with are also peers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's why I feel like it's, like, curating from an artist perspective rather than, like, a capital C curator perspective. Like, I feel like this project kind of feels like it's similar to that, but
Yeah, and it's very much not that way of, like, I don't know, where the curator kind of defines what the art is about.
Yeah.
This is kind of an aside, but you curate a chicken coop, is that true?
Well, I had a show at the
Pheasant
Coop.
You had a show, between two pheasants? Or?
Yeah, it's Alex Rondo runs that space. It's in Northern Ontario, in Kearns, Ontario, so it's, like, a couple hours north of North Bay. and it's in his parents. His parents have a farm, and they have a pheasant coop. And so the pheasants were, like, they're only in the coop, like, 6 months a year. So he just started curating exhibitions in the coop. And my last solo exhibition was in that coop.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And but Maddie has work coming up in the coop. Like, what, in March?
Yeah, next month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What a, yeah, what a good spot. What a great idea.
I do actually, I did just turn my, so I live in Hamilton, Ontario, and I just did just turn my garage into a gallery space, which I will be, like, doing some curatorial work and, like, programming in.
That's really
which
exciting.
Which is, like, yeah, I'm, like, getting ready to launch it officially, but.
Congrats, very cool.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I guess the last kind of bit of questions that I had for you, we talked a little bit about how iLevel has this, like, history of publishing and we're, you know, not being a gallery without a gallery, or that we've been really thinking more and more about the role that publishing plays in our identity, and why it was so exciting to work with you and to get it to do a project like this. And I think you talked a little bit about it, but do you want to talk about why you chose ultimately to go this route of, like, working with an institution like us versus, like, just really DIYing it?
Yeah, I mean, like, institutional support and funding is great. Like, there's, like, institutions are institutions, and, like, I feel like a lot of us have, like, fraught relationships with, like, capital I institutions because of, you know, a lot of reasons. But it, yeah, I don't know, it's, like, really great to have the opportunity to be so supported. And I think, like, when I was going over the questions, like, I saw you frame, I think there was part of this question where you said something about, like, trusting you guys, or, like, something about, like, having faith and, like, oh, did my vision change much?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like this is, like, exactly in line with what my vision was. Like, but it was more like I had the vision for, like, what the idea was and then what the feeling was, and I didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. So it was really nice to, like, work with you and have, like, support in design and, like, have, like, Ren suggest the, like, publisher and, like, have, like, all of these, like, have that kind of support, have financial support, know that you can distribute it. Like, there's just so many things I don't know how to do. So it's, like, having the idea and then having, like, people be like, we can help fund that and distribute it and, like, support it, and we know how to do these things, was like, and pay the people involved and give them all copies. Like, that was, like, all stuff that I felt like I couldn't really do on my own. And it's nice to work with an institution like this rather than, like, I don't know, like, a bigger kind of publisher institution where I feel like maybe my vision wouldn't be as in line with what I originally wanted. But I think a lot of the ways I work when I, like, curate or collaborate is, like, I just pick people that I trust, and then the thing becomes, I might not know exactly what it's going to look like, but it usually, like, ends up in line with what I think it's going to be, because it's, like, I'm working with people who share similar, like, politics and a vision, so it, like, ends up working.
I think that's a really good way of, it's also a way of working that I try and do as well. And I think, I don't know, it's funny because iLevel, you know, we're an organization that's, like, we're 50 years old and we've got all this history, and in some ways we are, like, big I institution, but we're also, like, pretty scrappy ourselves sometimes. Yeah, and I think that in some ways it's it can be, like, a little intimidating as well, being like, oh, now we have to, like, figure out how to distribute, or how to do the design, or, like, no, I'm not a trained designer, but it was still a lot of fun muddling through in design and figuring out, like, how to do the layout.
You did great. Well, and it was kind of nice to, like, well, also, like, in putting the design together, like, I got really sick. Like, I got COVID and then I was delayed, and then your kids got sick, and then it was just, like, we were, like, making it work, but we, like, totally did.
We met our deadline.
We met our deadline.
So much COVID.
But it was, like, nice for me to spend the time and, like, pair all the images, and then for you to kind of have an idea about, like, yeah, like, font and how we could lay it out. And, like, I mean, it'd be great. Yeah, we could talk about choosing the font, because that was that Ren's idea to go from the gender, was it the gender fail, like, text about queer typography.
The queer typography zine. So that was something that Ren suggested as like possible inspo for the zine when we were talking about concepts. I bookmarked it. It's available for free online as a digital zine, and it's beautiful. So I think I took a lot of like ideas and philosophy that I also saw like reflected back in the way that the artists kind of created their images for it. But I guess I wanted to look up. But we pulled the name, all of the fonts. So like the font for the inside cover and the outside cover, and then even the numbers on the edge all came from the queer typography zine. And that was a very cool find because I was looking and trying to find like something similar to them. Yeah. And then I realized that all of them you can download for free. And they're incredible. They're all open source fonts.
And the title font is designed by GB Jones, who's like such a great like Canadian queer artist, very important. But yeah, I thought that that was really great because, well, I mean, all of Gender Fails publications are incredible, but the fact like that anthology they have about queer typography, like I love when the form matches the content. So it was like, I feel like it was so considered to have that, to really consider like, yeah, what fonts are we using and how does it, and we were like talking about like, I wasn't sure about this font at first because of like the illegibility of it, but then we were talking about this like idea of queerness and like legibility and illegibility and like the ways that those things, the tension there, and I thought that that worked really well.
I had the same concern too at first. I had something kind of similar to it, but where like all these little dots were closer together, and it was definitely more readable. But I think we figured like, well, it's also like fairly readable on the inside. And I think that idea, I got really, really excited when the queer typography zine was talking about these ideas of coding and I like coding and making illegible as a queering act. And I thought that was also coming through in so many of the images. And I can see it as like there's a practicality to it and a safety to it, but there's also like that queer space of possibility and of, I don't know, in-betweenness.
Yeah, because I think it's, like, really strategic. Like, there's a lot of tension between, like, safety and legibility and, like, being seen. There's, like, the feeling of being seen and being, like, oh, I feel safe because I'm being seen. But then there's, like, a lack of safety and being seen in the wrong context. So, like, thinking about the tension with legibility and safety and how, like, yeah, like, the font choices really relate to that tension in regards to having a queer or trans body, I think it makes a lot of sense. So I was very happy that we, used that.
Yeah, I'm happy about it, too. cool. And I feel like you had such a clear vision for it as well. I remember, like, I was stressing out a little bit about the design work that I had to do that we were running behind on, and then you sent me all of the images, like, numbered and paired up and just basically told me what to do.
I am a Virgo.
It was perfect Virgo energy.
It was great.
And it took me, I like got on a roll and it took me a day to everything out because it was like, oh, I'm just going to do what Adrian's telling me because they know what they need and it's working so perfectly. But I think that's also something that we had talked about too, is this idea that like, at first I wasn't sure when some of the images were not, when they were not oriented in the same way. And then we were thinking like, no, there's a process of like taking this up and turning it around, but also like whichever way that you look at them, they're all still like a body in space.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm glad that way of working worked out so well.
It was perfect. It was kismet.
That's great.
Yeah, only Virgos. I think that is all the kind of questions that I had. Anybody else have any questions for Adrian or about the process?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from others. Questions or comments. I also wanted to mention that in the intro, it's like interviews, or it's not interview style, it's like conversation style. So instead of like writing a formal essay as the intro, Kat and I like took a bath, like had a conversation and recorded it, and I kind of transcribed it, and I thought that would really match the vibe of the zine too. So thank you to Kat for collaborating with me and also being in the zine.
Yeah, and being here in Halifax too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Can you talk about how you decided to put certain images together? Because I know that there were some where you were like, I really want to put this next to this.
Yeah. That's a good question, because I feel like it was really intuitive. So some of it was just, like, really aesthetic. Like, I knew I wanted this to be the centerfold, because it's just, like, such an incredible photo. And it was just, like, I thought this would work really well as a centerfold. And then, obviously, like, there was some where it's, like, two by the same person, so that made a lot of sense. But, like, in this page, like, it was, like, this one's really abstracted, but then this one's a close-up and, like, kind of abstracted. So I was just trying to go for, like, aesthetic pairings as well as, like, things that kind of work together conceptually. Like, I'm really obsessed with these two, for how they're, like, not in the same orientation, but, like, opposite. Yeah, so it's mostly intuitive. Yeah. I think it worked out well, though.
And I think there was, like, a little bit of magic almost, too, in how the submissions lined up. Like
these two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just seeing, like, the similarities in how people pose their bodies, or...
Yeah.
There's two in here, I'm trying to find the page, where it's like a grid of images.
Oh, yeah.
and then you paired that with the with the comic.
Yeah. Yeah, that worked out really well. And I think there's two where, like, oh yeah, there's like flowers or like herbs in the water, which I thought was really lovely.
Yeah. Did you have kind of I guess not a screening process, but I guess like a whittling down process to kind of get to these pairings, or did the pairings kind of just happen?
It was
again?
Really hard to pick. Like, some people would submitted like 5 or 6 images. Like Rima, who's like on the left here, submitted like 5 incredible images. But like some of them, it made like a lot of sense to have a pairing, but then I found like the hardest part was like picking which images by who.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I went through them, it was like not that hard to put them together. I think it was harder. It was easier to pick which ones were paired, but harder to pick what order they'd be in the zine. That was like a little bit hard.
Yeah.
Because there's no like wrong way to do it. It's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your approach to the ordering?
I wanted, so like the first person after the intro is Maddie, and it's like a post like surgery pick, and I just like kind of wanted to like start, I don't know, I felt like it was like a really beautiful photo, but it also really like sets the stage for what we're looking at, and then like then it goes right into like my friend Luke, who did a full frontal, and I was like, whoa. And I don't know, I just like, and then it I just kind of wanted to start out strong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But yeah. It was mostly intuitive, but those were, like, very intentional. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought the end one by, like, Lucas Cabral was, like, a very, like, lovely way to end. But, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's got, like, a tone to it. Or, I don't know, like, it tells a story.
Yeah, it does tell a story. I'm not sure what the story is, but it definitely tells a story.
Yeah, but it takes you on a journey.
Yep.
Has your bathing experience changed since the project how you, like, approach, I don't know, photographing yourself in bodies of water?
Yeah, so when I took the photo for this scene, I lived in a different apartment, and it had, like, a really nice bathtub and, like, a really nice bathroom. And then I moved into a house, and it didn't have as nice a bathtub, so I don't bathe as much. But that's going to change soon. So I feel like, I don't think the zine itself changed how I bathe, but, like, my actual bathroom influenced how often I take a bath. I'm also very tall and long, and I just, like, dream of a bath where I can, like, stretch out, and I haven't yet experienced much of that. Yeah, I feel like I want to take more baths. I miss it. Yeah. Like, I haven't bought a bath bomb in a long time.
Because we have a bath bomb. We have, like,
but some of them are just yours. Yeah. Yeah.
I really loved when you talked about like your consideration of the queer history of bathing and like bathhouses and thinking about like outdoor bathing. It wasn't, I haven't seen the zine, obviously it's your lunch, but like I think that's really cool. I really love that approach, and it really made me think about how I feel bathing in public and being a trans person and like people witnessing your body, and how to me that feels really powerful and like liberating. So I like that approach.
Oh, thank you. And it was nice to see people like queer and trans folks be like outside photographing themselves in the zine too, because like I have a lot of anxiety about like going to the beach, and like there's this huge discourse in Toronto right now about Hanlon's Point, and like I'm really stressed about it, and so like it's just like the last space you could be like a queer person at the beach, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like we're losing these spaces. And yeah, I'm glad that you appreciated that. Anyone else?
Then I think we might. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think, like, I don't know if this is a comment or a question, but I guess we'll find out. I'm thinking about how the more I look at the photos, the more I'm, like, obsessed with the zine. Like, I think it's so beautiful. I love the way you put it together. But it's interesting to think about like communal bathing, which you were talking about a little bit, communal bathing versus like isolated bathing, and in a pandemic context to think about that as well.
Yeah.
But also to think about like I realized that I was trans in the pandemic. And thinking about like the ways that now as the pandemic shifts and changes and like more experiences of being in public and public bathing versus like private isolated bathing, and then how some of these photos are isolated and like just spreads, like isolate them into their own kind of opening, but others are paired together, and it creates a kind of like togetherness where there wasn't any before. I just think that's a really interesting aspect of it.
Yeah, and it does like, it creates this little community of all the people that are in it, right? Which I think is kind of nice, because like I know a handful of the folks in it, and then like there's also like really nice connections, like Lawrence worked with Arjun, and like I have like people I know in person. Like I've never met Lawrence Filamine before in person, but we're like friends on the internet, and then I had a friend from like Instagram who's like non-binary who lives in the States who like ended up in the zine, who like was posting about it, but I've never like met before. So it's kind of nice to have like build this community through, and then come to Halifax and actually meet folks that are in it as well. Like building this little community through this publication felt really nice. It, especially coming from a time when like people did feel really isolated, and it's like we're still in a time where we're isolated, but it's like this weird in between. yeah so thanks for that comment. And actually one of the photos, which one is it, this photo here is from my friend Zoe, who runs a like her and her friend run like a queer sauna club in Ontario that I go to, where it's like every month queers just like get together and go to the sauna. And this is actually like the sauna's over here, and then you go to the dock, and like they carved a little hole in the ice to do like cold dips and then go in the sauna. But I went once in November, so I think even just like this image, like not everybody knows what that's from, but it's like nice to think about this like documentation of like, I don't feel comfortable going to, like, a public sauna, but, like, there I felt really comfortable. So even thinking about, like, what those images represent, too, was really nice.
Awesome. I think maybe we end it there.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Adrienne.
Yeah. Thank you so much for supporting the project. And thanks to everybody who came here, and thanks to everybody who is in the zine, because there's at least like 5 or 6 contributors here, maybe more. So it's really lovely. Maybe more, actually. Can you put your hand up if you're like involved?
1, 2
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Brilliant. Yeah. Thanks for being
here. Thank you.